What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Deaths due to COVID-19 reached their highest point in nearly a year. And last year's meme stock rally brought in a wave of new everyday investors. How that's changed the market.
You had this real revival in not only some of the specific firms, but really the industry as a whole. And that all comes with just this massive surge of trading volume.
Plus, no credit report? Now you can make your own. It's Tuesday, January 25th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The number of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. has surpassed 2,100 a day on average over the past week, according to data from Johns Hopkins University, eclipsing the levels seen in the Delta surge early last year. Though evidence shows Omicron is milder for some patients, its transmissibility means it is spreading quickly. But there are signs that hospitalizations are beginning to decline, and some parts of the country, including New York and California, are now in recovery mode. Meanwhile, Pfizer and BioNTech have started testing an adapted version of their COVID-19 vaccine that targets the Omicron variant. The drug makers said they began enrolling adults ages 18 to 55 in the U.S. and South Africa. Initial results of the study are expected in the first half of the year. And if the shot is proven to work safely, the drug makers could ask U.S. regulators for authorization and begin distribution in March. The Biden administration is preparing sanctions and export controls against Russia if it invades Ukraine. That's according to senior officials who say the president is also working to mitigate potential market shocks if Russia retaliates by withholding energy supplies. Officials declined to provide many specifics, but said the goal would be to hit critical Russian industrial sectors that President Vladimir Putin has prioritized, like artificial intelligence and quantum computing. It was another day of wild swings on Wall Street as investors await details of the Federal Reserve's policy meeting and digest another busy earnings week. The major indexes regained much of their earlier losses, ultimately ending the day lower. The Dow was down 0.2%, the S&P 500 was down 1.2%, and the Nasdaq lost 2.3%. Speaking of earnings, General Electric said fourth quarter revenue fell 3% amid continued supply chain difficulties. But the company projected sales growth this year as its aviation business begins to recover. GE is in the process of splitting its business into three separate public companies over the next 2 years. It expects that moves the company and its suppliers have made to address supply chain problems will benefit the business by mid-year. Microsoft posted strong revenue and earnings after the bell. The company said sales in the latest quarter reached $51.7 billion, up 20% from a year earlier. A shift to remote work also meant growth in Microsoft's cloud computing business. The company's overall cloud revenue increased by 32% annually to more than $22 billion. And high schoolers can put away their number two pencils. The SAT and PSAT are going digital. The College Board, which runs the college admissions exams, is rolling out a number of changes, including shortening the testing time by an hour and sending students their scores within days instead of weeks. Fewer colleges and universities have been requiring standardized tests like the SAT in recent years, citing concerns that test results are closely tied to how wealthy a student's parents are, hurting the chances of low-income students and those from communities of color. The new test will begin internationally next year and in the U.S. in 2024. Coming up, a year after the meme stock rally, are retail investors still interested?
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
It's been 1 year since trading in meme stocks exploded, taking shares of companies like GameStop and AMC to new heights and drawing new retail investors into the market. This week, The Wall Street Journal has been taking a look back at the craze. Today, we examine how it's changed the face of investing how companies and regulators are responding, and whether amateur investors will sour on trading amid high inflation and a volatile stock market. Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal senior writer Justin Baer. Hi, Justin. Thanks for joining me.
Sure, anytime.
So let's start with how the meme stock rally really transformed the face of investing and brought in a new wave of amateur investors from, at the time, non-traditional sources like the Reddit forum Wall Street Bets.
You know, the frenzy really begins about 6 months earlier. And you have to look at a couple things that were happening in the markets and in the industry that kind of set the stage for what was to come. You know, in the aftermath of March 2020, which of course is when the pandemic really sweeps through the states and the rest of the world, the market goes through a very serious sell-off that month, and then very quickly bounces back and begins this really high volume rally. And it was a moment where a lot of Americans discover trading and investing in many cases for the first time. And it was during this sort of lockdown period in the aftermath of that sell-off. Many people were home and really began to examine and explore what it's like to trade individual stocks and index funds and the like. And it really kind of takes off from there. And you have more and more individuals that are really drawn to the various brokerage platforms, which are available to everyone. And another thing that happened that kind of was driving a lot of this was that until fairly recently, it used to cost a lot more to trade stocks and other securities. And the industry has, you know, the commissions, for instance, that brokers charged for stocks have come down for years. But leading up to this big event in 2020, they had dropped essentially to zero. So it was now free for individuals to trade stocks. So that sort of allows a lot more people to start to dabble in trading. So the enthusiasm was sort of building and building, and then it found the right forums for sharing that enthusiasm. And that really kind of adds a lot of gasoline to some of the specific names that that you mentioned, and where a lot of that sort of reaches its height in January and around that period on places like Reddit and the various Reddit forums.
So the surge certainly changed the investing environment in terms of who got involved. How else did investment firms respond to this surge and sort of change their business models?
You had this real revival in not only some of the specific firms, but really the industry as a whole. And that all comes with just this massive surge of trading volume, right? Even though it is much less expensive to trade these days, there are ways these brokers make money off those transactions, even if, you know, you, the trader, aren't paying as high commission anymore. So this sort of changes the game for them as well. And because not only is it great to be busy, but it also signals that this great question as to when this new generation of investors were finally going to arrive, it seems to answer that question.
So you mentioned the challenge of trying to keep this new generation of investors. A year later, we are in a very different market. There are growing concerns among investors about inflation and the Federal Reserve's plans to bring it under control. How is that environment now impacting retail investment and the overall assessment of the risk involved?
That's the huge question, right? The big weighty issues that are affecting stocks right now, you know, historically are not ones that get resolved very quickly. So navigating this period is probably going to be an important test for that. And as to whether people keep their accounts or just decide to pull their cash out and then just look away, that's a big question. Or how many people say, okay, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be the one who's making these decisions on what stocks to buy. And maybe I should just put my money in an index fund and then, you know, market selling off, but at some point it'll go back up and I'll get the returns in a longer term that I hope. So there is that possibility as well. I mean, obviously, you know, Wall Street is the industry of Wall Street is hopeful it's the latter scenario. But again, it's something that we'll see, right? This appears to be the biggest, you know, certainly the biggest sell-off since the pandemic craze back in March of 2020. So we'll see how long it lasts and how it does affect the psychology of many of these individual investors.
Last year's rally also caught the attention of regulators, including the Securities and Exchange Commission. How are they now looking at how to best protect amateur investors especially?
Yes. So this has been certainly on several fronts. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, has weighed in on issues related to individual investing and the brokerage industry that serves those folks. And I think probably most one that's probably tied to the events of a year ago is how the regulator is looking at the way brokers use kind of various bells and whistles to bring more people onto their platform and to turn investing and trading into a game. And they, including the chairman, has argued that can be sometimes be inappropriate. And to what extent does that persuade individual investors to start to trade into stuff that are very complicated, right? And may not be, you know, not only are there obviously risks associated, but, you know, doing things that they don't fully understand because they've been kind of lured into some of those transactions by the sort of so-called gamification of investing. And that hits some of the digital trading platforms that have emerged, and, you know, including some that have been around for a long time, who have been big beneficiaries of this trading phenomenon.
That's Wall Street Journal senior writer Justin Baer. Justin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And finally, if you want to borrow money, you often need a good score on your credit report. But according to Experian, one of the largest credit reporting firms in the country, about 28 million adults in the U.S. don't have a credit report because they haven't signed up for a credit card or borrowed money from a bank or other major lender. Without the credit report, they can't get a loan. It's kind of a circle. Now, our reporter Anna Maria Andriotis says Experian is offering consumers a way to create their own credit reports using their recurring bills.
So for people who don't have a credit report right now, they could certainly be paying their non-debt bills on time every month, but that's not reflected in their credit report because those companies, the utility companies, landlords, etc., generally just don't report that information onto regular credit reports. So with this process here that Experian is rolling out, after the consumer essentially verifies their identity with Experian, they would then be able to choose and add onto their credit report accounts that they pay on an ongoing basis that are non-debt related accounts, like cell phone payments, like utility payments, cable payments, streaming services payments, etc. And so essentially, what would then occur is that a credit report with accounts that shows a payment history would be created, and what would follow would be a credit score for that person.
You can hear more on this on tomorrow morning's episode of our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.